Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. And our guests will provide advice on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in the entertainment industry. Some of our guests include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Wenders. Oh, you think I had a cocktail? Wild turkey before I came on. Here we go, people. Reality television stars, producers, directors, actors, singers, casting directors, talent agents, talent managers, screenwriters, novelists, and the list goes on and on. You get the idea. If they are working professionally in show business, we are going to have them on the show to give you entertainment career advice. And we make sure that our guests are at various stages of their careers from different professions, from beginners to professionals, and that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to answer all of your show business career questions. Now, you can listen to any of our past shows by going to our archive page on the LA Talk Radio website. Just go to Channel 1. There's a drop-down menu, and you click Question Reality, and this takes you directly to our archive page. And our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section and on Stitcher.com, the new hot sweeping website for internet radio. It's the hottest thing. Just go to their websites, type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and there you go. We are there. Now, if you want to find out about our future guests, as you know, we're booked 6 months to a year in advance. We are so popularity over here. You have to go to our official Question Reality website. That is questionrealityradioshow.com. And I encourage you to check out all of the other shows here on LA Talk Radio. They have informative topics, and if you want to know about psychology, there's a psychologist on the couch with Dr. Michelle. She's going to help you out. If you have any sort of problems, there's someone to help you on this radio station. And you can download our free app for your Android or iPhone and be able to listen to all of those shows on our homepage. So go to latalkradio.com, and it is located at the bottom. Woo! You know, when I announced this guest was coming on, there was an influx from the actors all over the globe to ask questions, and I got lots of questions, and thank goodness, because I wrote some of them down, so some of them will be asked, and I will announce your name, just your first name, but we also have two co-hosts. One has been here before. Now, wait a minute. Before we go on, let me tell you who. I'm so excited. I forgot to tell you who the hell the guest was today. Okay, it's Ty Harmon. Ty Harmon has worked in various assets of entertainment or facets, assets, cocktail, in his entire career. Now, he started in the business as an actor, and he transitioned behind the scenes as a development executive for Kim Basinger's Mighty Wind Productions. And Ty had the opportunity to learn the talent agency business from the legendary Ed Limato and become a talent agent at ICM. And then he was looking to be more creative, so he went on his next endeavor and became a casting executive at the Fox Network, working on some of my favorite shows, 90210, Melrose Place, Ally McBeal, and The X-Files. And Ty has also been a casting executive at Universal Television and TNT. And as an independent casting director, Ty has worked on the American Pie franchise, one of my favorites, HBO's Generation Kill, and the television series Warehouse 13, Alpha, Shake It Up, The Game, Girlfriends. And his credit list just went for 181 pages. I said, to hell with this. I got them all the ones I like. like. I'm just putting him down. But he has a ton of credits. So we are going to have him today. And we have two co-hosts here to rep you, actors. They are here to ask the hard-hitting questions from Ty. We have our returning co-host and our favorite ginger from across the pond, Mr. Ben Patton. Ben is a stand-up comedian and host, screenwriter, producer, and actor. BenPadden.net. Why you have net, I don't know. Does anyone still have a .net? I don't know. I guess you, Ben. And we have our Too Sexy for Her Shirt co-host and guest from last week, Alexa Fair. She is an R&B pop artist, dancer, and actress. And her latest single, Saved a Boyfriend, is available for download on SoundCloud. And you can check out her website, AlexaFairMusic.com. That's F-E-R. RR, short for, was it Ferragamo? No, that's, I think that's my perfume I put on today. AlexaFair.com. We have to change that, Ben. You need a .com. Now, these co-hosts are going to be asking a couple of questions from the actor's perspective on this scary subject of casting directors. Ooh, they're so scared. The actors are so scared of the casting director. Well, I don't know, because they're your friend. They're your best friend. If they want to book you, a lot of actors, they go on auditions, and they're so scared of these casting people. But you got to remember, they want to cast you. The sooner they cast you, the sooner they can go home and get a damn cocktail. They just want to cast the show. So don't be afraid of them. They are your friends. Oh, I wrote some notes on it. Casting directors are your advocates and are your champions. Are you not a champion, Ty?
That is very true.
Mm-hmm. And your work reflects on them. So your wonderful work that you do when they cast you makes them look good. So they want you to do the very, very best. Now, on the flip side, disconnected, tentative, muddled work does nothing for anyone. Does it not, Ty?
No, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Now, they need you to be great, so you got to come in prepared. Don't think that you come here off the Greyhound bus with your $50 damn in your pocket and you head beeline for a casting director, and somehow you get in via the casting couch or however the hell you get in. But if you're not prepared, it's not going to go well, people. It's not going well. Now, casting directors are there. They're to host your experience, and they shepherd you. Do you not feel like a shepherd?
Well, that's why we're called casting directors.
That's right.
Because we help to shape their performance.
Exactly. You're shepherding them in.
And shepherding?
Wild turkey. Third cocktail. No. What is there a word? Shepherding? What
shepherding,
would you say?
I mean, admittedly, this English is American
English.
Oh, not my
look,
first
we
language.
Got somebody from England, the motherland. He's going to correct me on the English. All right. Shepherd. They're going to shepherd you in. They don't want to hold you back. Right? And they want to share in your excellent work, right? Because if you look good, they look good. Mm-mm-mm. So now, casting directors await you on the other side of the door, and that door can be seen as either a gateway or a barricade. Am I right, Ty?
I guess that's a way to look at it.
Mm-hmm. While most beginning actors turn the audition into a horror scenario, now I wrote this, so I'm going to say it. I wrote this just for Ty. So I'm getting it out. I wrote this just for him. So, but it's true. A lot of actors, the audition, they turn into this horror scene in their head, which it really doesn't need to be. You need to think about it more as your personal little stage, not a torture chamber.
I think that's a good advice.
Good way, right. And whether it's a pre-read for an associate or a full-blown casting director producer callback, this is your time, your experience, and this is the opportunity to do exceptional work. So let's start with Ty. Keeping that in mind, in your opinion, what are the three... Oh, by the way, welcome to Question Reality.
Thanks.
I did it again, did I not, Ben? But I introduced you two.
You got there.
I got there.
You got 90% of
the way. Now, wait a minute, Albert. You have to do my special applause. You know that Ty gets the special applause. I got that just for Ty.
Oh, excited.
And we want to welcome Ty Harmon. Woo! Corny, yes, but Ty needed that today. Ty needed the applause today. I wanted to give it to Ty. He deserves it. So let's start with our first question. In your opinion, Ty, what are three of the absolute worst things you can do as an actor to jeopardize your career?
No training.
Mm-hmm.
Only act when you're auditioning.
That is so true. If you're an actor, are you not supposed to act all day and all night? How can you be an actor? You just turn it on. But, oh, I'm so glad you said that.
Now, in what context do you mean that? Do you mean, like, you're acting in the audition and then when you actually, if you get cast in
something
or not?
They're not in class regularly. They're not involved in the local theater scene. Yeah. The only time they act is when they come into audition, which is, it's like running a race in the Olympics having never trained for that race. You
that
have to be
sense.
Sharp. You have to keep those muscles sharp.
I just say act all day. 24 hours. The moment you hit up, just act. What the hell? People say you're crazy, but that's all right. It's all right.
Nothing wrong with a little self-delusion.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing wrong with
that. I'm a different character every single day.
Exactly.
For example, I've managed to convince a room full of people on a radio show that I'm from England.
Yes! Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, one of the things I love is people who change up their outfits. Like, they can wear a 1950s outfit and rock it, and then a 60s outfit. Why can't you be a different character every day?
Mm-hmm.
You could actually go to the doctor and get free damn medication for this, right? And you're just an actor. That should be one of the questions on a health questionnaire before they're giving you pills. Are you an actor? Because
right?
You could be acting crazy to get that hydrocodone. All right, so we did chew. What's the third one?
Have lousy headshots.
Whoa.
That's
no.
A good one.
A bad headshot
Ty,
can kill
that's
can kill
a good
a
one.
Ty, I was rock. Now, I love to do background work because Lord knows I am not memorizing shit. I am not doing it. But I loved being in background. I have lots of friends who are casting directors and producers and directors. And when they needed a fluffy person, I'm fluffy, they would call me up and they'd say, oh, you know, can you be a background person? I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. Now I forgot what the hell I was talking about. What the hell was I talking about?
We were talking about headshots.
Oh, headshots.
Yes.
Thank you, Ben, thank you.
Glad one of us is on the ball here today.
Ty, I was rocking the black and white headshot nice. Up until last year. And do you know I was getting called right and left to do background acting? They don't care, I guess, you know, with background actors. But I just recently went to color reluctantly because, you know, color shows everything. It's going to show. You got pores the size of a Hawaiian volcano. It's going to show. But what I have found that a lot of actors come to me and they say, Priscilla, I just spent a fortune getting headshots. And my agent says they're not good enough. They want me to go to this person, that person. Now, that might be a scam because, you know, they get some kickbacks.
Sure.
How do you, you know, talk us through that?
I think you have to question your peer group, see who has good headshots that you really like and respond to, and see who their photographer is.
Right.
I think that's the best way, by word of mouth.
And now, I am one for, you shouldn't be photoshopping, but a lot of people do it. But if they come in, like my friend, she uses her headshot from when she was in the John Travolta Let's Get Physical video. No, Olivia Newton-John. And she sends it out. I'm like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
But she photoshops it up.
Well, your headshot should look like you look on the day you're going to come into the office.
Right.
Otherwise, you see us looking at the headshot looking at you, looking
yeah.
at the headshot looking at you, and
yeah.
thinking this is not even the same person.
Right. And then you go, good job, thanks. Bye.
So in an ideal universe, you want to be getting headshots taken, like, maybe every 6 months?
It depends how quickly you're aging, you know?
If you're just rapidly, if you're deteriorating like you just looked into the Ark of the Covenant, then yeah, you should probably...
I think
yeah.
once a year is probably...
Yeah.
You know,
and if you change your hair, like I change my hair
dramatic.
Frequently,
yeah.
red to blonde, and... I keep them on file if you change your hair frequently because you might be able to use them. I can rock a headshot for 10 years because I'm Irish and I just stay looking the same. But
you can keep telling yourself that. That's fine. That's good.
Yes, I do.
I am not being invited
back
on this
show. Myself that. But now a big thing is with cost. You know, what do you think a headshot should cost? Some people are paying like $1,000 and something.
I think you can get a good quality headshot for $500.
Yeah.
With a reputable photographer.
Right. Now, do you recommend all these crazy backgrounds? You know, there are some headshots where they blow you up. It almost looks like you're in a scene from Avatar.
No, it's about
you. Have you seen those headshots
yeah.
where they're Plain. Really neon-y?
I want to see something from the chest up. We want to see your face. That's what we're interested in seeing.
Okay.
Something that's clean, that looks like you today.
Right. And let's talk about branding. a lot of people don't know their brand. They come in, they look like Opie, but yet they're thinking that they are, you know, the next, who's a hot, Brad Pitt. They think they're Brad Pitt, but they're the boy next door. Mm-hmm. So, branding.
Well, I think you have to realize that, I mean, my hope is always that actors can play anything, you know, from a homeless person to the President of the United States. Mm. So I don't know that you have to be quite so concerned with a brand, per se.
With the headshots.
Yeah, but I want, if you're a character actor and you look character-y, then yeah, you're probably not going to get those leading man roles.
Good.
What would you say looks character-y? Just...
Well,
context.
You look character-y.
I am, just for context, wearing a very brightly coloured, like, Marvel Avengers vest right now.
Yes.
So I do look like I fell out of a cartoon.
Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, God, don't say the Comic-Con word. I just had the experience from hell at Comic-Con, which I'm sure you had the best time.
I had a great time. I had a fantastic... I bought this vest.
You, on the other hand.
Oh, Jesus, Lord, have mercy. I was so excited when I was approved, along with the 14 billion people that I saw there, approved too. But Albert and I had never gone, so we said, oh, Comic-Con, Comic-Con. We drove down there, and there were so many people, and it was gridlock traffic, and we said, hell no. I said, I'm hungry. Let's go to Olive Garden. So we paid $220 for his ticket, and we didn't even go to Comic-Con.
Oh, my goodness.
Which I'm sure you had a good time. You had a good time. But no more Comic-Con for me. All right. So next question. In your opinion, what are three of the best things you can do as an actor, that you think an actor can do to enhance their career?
Make sure that you're constantly training.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you're constantly networking and developing relationships within the business. And that you're acting every day.
I like that. Do you have a question for Ty, Miss Alexa?
Yes,
as
I do,
an aspiring actress.
As an aspiring actress.
Because you are an R&B pop artist, so you're transitioning.
Of course. What do you look for at auditions?
Well, we're looking for well-prepared actors that have made interesting choices, not something that's straight down the middle, something that's interesting outside the box that maybe you wouldn't usually predict for that piece of material.
Right.
Okay.
Because sometimes you can get sides and it'll be leaning towards a certain character, but I hope Ty can join in on that. But I say, you know what? If you feel, you know, that the character is something else, don't be afraid to maybe change the character up, because sometimes the writers don't know they're looking for a character, and you come in and you do a character, and they're like, "That's what I really want," and they'll change it.
Well,
so
I'd much rather see you make
choices.
A very strong choice and carry it throughout, even if it's the wrong choice. At least I know that you can make a strong choice and carry it throughout the scene, and then we can give you notes saying, "Okay, here's some additional information that maybe you don't know. Let's try this and this and this," and then go through the material an additional time.
Right.
As an example of something along those lines, there was a British sitcom. It's actually. Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright did back in 1999 called Spaced. And one of the characters, his name is Brian, he's an artist, and they'd originally written him as kind of flamboyant, like kind of big on the page. And then an actor named Mark Heap came in and gave this very kind of quiet, very just kind of focused take on the role, and that's who they ended up casting. Mm. They went completely, almost in the opposite direction, and it works. It worked really, really well.
That is exactly what I was talking about. Now, Ty, what is the biggest challenge most actors face in making it in the entertainment industry?
I think just getting somebody to advocate for them and allow them to get into the room to audition, to show their talents and to show what a strong actor they are.
And obviously they do this today there are workshops, which, by the way, let's just get right into. You have a workshop coming up. Did you know that?
I don't know. Where is it?
Well, one of the ways that you can get in front of an actor. Now, again, please, if you are a beginning actor, don't go roaming into a casting director workshop. Usually they audition to let you in, but sometimes they're open. I've had casting director friends say, oh, my God, this person may have had one acting lesson, and mm-hmm. you don't want to do that because, you know, cast directors remember you. Remember you. And if you do that, that says you're, one, disrespectful. Two, you don't know the business side, and you need to know that. It's not. It's called show business. But Ty Harmon's next workshop is going to be held for trulyacting.com, and it is a Ty Harmon workshop, full casting director, with Guthrie Goddard Casting, Tuesday, August 4th at 7:30 p.m. at Actors Creative Workshop, 2705 West Olive Street in Burbank. You can go to the website, trulyacting.com. And now Ty knows what he's doing on August
in
the 4th.
August.
In August, which is coming up. That's your next one. I didn't see anything about anything before that.
All right.
Is there something coming up before that, or are you just in Boca
Raton
until then?
He's just shocked that he's working.
No, I've been traveling a lot. I teach all over the country, and in the last 3 weeks, I've been in New York, and I just got back from St. Louis yesterday, and I go to Dallas on Friday, so I'm just
Do you have someone booking you, or you do your own stuff?
I do my own.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Handling your business, Ty.
There you go.
All up in it.
Got to.
Now, you originally started out as an actor.
I did 100 years ago.
You did. Now, why did you transition into a career as a casting director? Because I would have thought, you know, you're handsome. You could have done, you could have done the actor scene. Did you not?
I just wanted
it?
Different things out of life. And it's so incredibly competitive. And your chances of making it and making a living at it are tough. You know, the Screen Actors Guild membership, less than 2% makes their living as actors.
With insurance.
Right. That means 98-point-something% have to do something else in addition to whatever monies they may or may not make as actors. They have to have other jobs or other sources of income just to survive.
Right.
I didn't like those odds.
Mm-hmm.
It's tricky. You've got to really want it. And even then, the thing is, you just got to want it. That's not enough.
No, you've got to be able to do
it.
Yes. Everybody watches television and they think, I don't know what he's getting paid for. I could do that, but it's totally different.
People say that about singers, too.
Singing, sure. Right.
American
Idol.
Well.
Yep.
My friend Michael Orland is I think he's associate music producer over at American Idol. Mm-hmm. And he's like, everybody thinks they can sing until they come to an audition. And even though experts are telling them, Jennifer Lopez, you can't sing, they still think they can sing.
Of course.
Same with actors. Yeah. There needs to be a show like American Idol, but just for actors, where they get up in the audition and then you're told that you can't act. And I want to see breakdowns, meltdowns.
I want to see it all. Interesting show.
So that's right. Now there are hundreds of casting director workshops in LA. What is the perfect casting director workshop from the actor and casting director perspective? Like, I know that actors have told you, this is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you think a casting workshop would be that's the perfect one? What is an actor going to get
out of? I think there's a lot of give and take, and I think we're going to learn from each other. My hope is always that actors are going to learn from me and I'm going to learn from them. It usually starts out with, you know, a basic question and answer session where I introduce myself and talk about the shows maybe that I'm currently working on. And then they have the opportunity to ask any questions about the business. There's so much bad information out there that, you know, I think it's really important for us as casting directors to try to dispel all those myths that actors have about the casting process. From there, it goes one of two ways. Either the actors will do prepared scenes with a reader, or we'll hand out material and pair people up and do cold reads. I prefer prepared material personally.
Mm-hmm.
I think it gives the actor a better chance to shine.
And from hearing all of those things you just talked about, what do you feel are most of these myths out there that you want to dispel?
That it's going into a casting office is like facing a firing squad, that we're there just to judge and to say, show me what you got.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, we want you to be great. We hope that you are great. If you are great and no one's ever heard of you and you book on one of my shows and then go on to have a career, I will take credit for that.
Yes,
career.
You will, Ty.
Of course,
it's
yes,
a win-win for everyone.
Absolutely. Now, what are so these casting director workshops? How do you fit them in? Because obviously, you're busy. You're
we
one
do them
of
at
the,
night and on the weekends.
Okay,
when time allows.
Do is when you have these casting director workshops? Do you sometimes find talent like untapped talent, or is it
sure?
What do you do?
You see a variety of skill levels. You know, I mean, casting directors in the state of California are for educational purposes only, per the Kerkorian law. But I can tell you that we are, you know, constantly looking. If I see somebody that really impresses me, I'm going to bring them in for an audition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to do the disclaimer right in the beginning of the class.
Don't want to go to casting director jail.
No, no.
Is that any different than regular jail?
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to find out.
Now, what are, let's talk about that. What are some of your current projects that you're working on?
Right now we do a Zendaya show on the Disney Channel, which is called Casey Undercover. We also do Liv and Maddie, which is another Disney Channel show. We do a show for Nickelodeon that hasn't started to air yet, which is called School of Rock, which is the series adaptation of the Jack Black movie. Mm. And we're also doing another new series for Nickelodeon called Homeroom.
Mm. Now, what if people wanted to get in front of you to do their thing, do their little acting thing? Mm-hmm. What, would they come to one of your casting director workshops, or do you accept submissions? Do they do that anymore, where they send the,
unsolicited,
you know, the
submissions are, yeah, really tough to get to because of the volume of work that we have and the amount of time that we have to do it. So
what's the best way?
Well, hopefully you have an agent or a manager that's going to submit you for something that you're right for. If you're unrepresented, then I think coming to a workshop is a good way to start to establish a relationship with a casting office.
Mm-hmm. And there are, the prices range out there. What do you think the average price an actor, because there was a beginning actor and he went to a casting director workshop, it was $80. And I'm like, I think
I don't know what they charge.
It varies,
I don't decide,
right?
Sure it varies from place to place.
Okay, so
I don't know.
That was one of the questions. That was from Arlington, Texas. Thank you, Linda.
I don't set price points or anything like that.
I'm
an independent contractor, right, to those particular venues, and they charge whatever they charge.
So they call Ty up and they say, hey, Mr. Harmon, would you come and do a workshop? And the person who holds the workshop, they're the ones that charge.
Yeah, so, because they're all, most of them are either for-profit businesses or it's an actor's co-op where they're just trying to cover their costs.
Got it. Yeah, so Ty has nothing to do with that. Don't be asking them how much you charge, or can I come over and I'll give you $50. Okay, so an actor can find out about, are you with the a casting director office, or are you still independent?
I work independently, but I work with SGS Casting, which is Suzanne Goddard-Smythe, who's another casting director. It's her company.
Okay, got it. And Ben, do you have any award-winning questions?
Award-winning.
Yes.
So you've talked about some of the things that can hurt an actor's career. What can hurt an actor's chances in the audition? Like, what are some of the worst things that you see actually during an audition that hurt that?
That's a really,
I'm
bad
so
question.
Glad you asked that, and I'm going to jump in real quick. I have one time I went to a party and someone said, oh, I had the most horrible experience. An actor, she went to shake the casting director's hand, mm-hmm, and he embarrassed her so bad in front of all these people and said, how unprofessional, I'm paraphrasing, but how professional are you? You never touch a casting director. Don't ever come up to us. Don't shake our hand. Don't touch us. Don't linger outside in the parking lot. Is it wrong to extend your hand? What is proper etiquette when you go into a
audition? It varies office
audition
to office and casting director to casting director. I don't mind that at all, but I know there are other people that don't want to be touched. Because if you're seeing, you know, 100 people a day and it's cold and flu season, you know, your chances, mm-hmm, of getting sick are pretty high.
Right.
So
that makes some sense.
So I don't think
you
should embarrass anyone. But
yeah. So just don't reach your hand, your paw out.
Just say hi. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me in.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that was kind of a jerk move on the part of that
And how are you supposed to give a good audition after being slided like that in the room?
That's
terrible.
So sorry. But
anyway, yes. So actually, during the audition process, what are some of the biggest mistakes that you see on a regular basis?
Actors get nervous and they get real chatty before the work.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen an actor talk their way into a job, but I've seen a lot of actors talk their way out of a job.
Mm-hmm.
You're there to do the work and to show what a great actor you are. So a simple hello, how are you, thanks for having me in, is plenty.
Just let the work speak for itself.
Yeah, and whoever's leading the room, which will usually be the casting director, let them lead the room, and they'll let you know when to go and what to do and how many times we're going to do the scene and any other notes that may be necessary or appropriate.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't need to. A lot of actors feel like they got to get in their personality. You know, oh, well, I'm going to be funny, or I'm going to be this. No. Don't do that. It takes up time. Time is money. Okay. What starting out in a career as an actor, for most people, it's financially challenging. Mm-hmm. And what advice can you give an actor on how to supplement their income to, you know, any typical jobs that you've come across an actor that has that are not the waiter, waitress? Anybody, any actor come up and they're like, I'm doing this, and you go, wow, really? I'm impressed.
I hear things all the time.
Like
actors
what?
Have the craziest jobs. You know, they work for the morgue or for a funeral home, you know, and work at night. Lots of weird nighttime jobs.
Oh, that's a good one. Never heard that one.
There's a lot of Uber drivers now.
Yeah,
oh,
sure.
Absolutely.
All Uber my Uber Lyft. Drivers are actors, casting directors, or someone like producers. Yeah.
Wow. As a matter of fact, a guest on here is an Uber driver. That's very flexible. Mm-hmm. So jobs that have flexibility.
That have flexibility, yeah. Right.
At the morgue, you say.
Yeah.
Ooh. I've never heard that.
Crazy?
You can run your lines and you have a person. That
Right. A
You have a captive audience.
Right?
Oh, I love that.
The problem is, if you're expecting a reaction, you're never going to get it.
Right.
You hope.
Yeah.
Right.
Well.
Right. Now, do you have a question, Alexa, for Ty as a female actress?
Yes,
and
actually,
as a male.
Actually, as
so female related, male related.
Well, it's more general.
Okay.
For any up and coming actors, how important is an actor's experience when auditioning for a role compared to others that have more experience?
I think it comes into play, but mm-hmm. everybody starts with nothing, with whatever local community theater productions or school productions you've had.
Right.
People don't come to Los Angeles and, you know, have three series regular roles and two Broadway shows and a tentpole
right.
movie under their belt. So you come from wherever you come from with whatever you have. We can't expect you to have more than your life experience has allowed you to have.
That's
so.
True.
The work is going to speak for itself.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Bernard?
Mm-hmm. Bernard. Bernard. Bernard Walton.
I was going to do Bernard, Bernard but okay, Bernard.
Bernard. So, obviously, you probably have to interact to a degree with, you know, producers and directors and showrunners mm-hmm. and say, well,
sure.
for this character, we're looking for this type, and for this character, we're looking for someone who's like this actor or this comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever had a situation where you feel like you found the right person that doesn't necessarily fit the character archetype that the producer's looking for, and you kind of advocate for them, or are you kind of beholden
to... Of course, if I feel strongly about it, of course. But when we go through the pre-read process and winnow it down to maybe 6 to 8 people that we're going to take to producers, I want to take a variety of styles and performances into that producer so they can see all the different ways this
mm-hmm.
role can be played. I don't want 6 or 8 of the exact same thing.
Yeah, otherwise what's the point in bringing 6 or 8 people?
Right.
Yeah. That's fair.
Absolutely. Now, I promised everybody that we were going to hear Alexa's latest song, Saved a Boyfriend, and I had said about 5:30, but it's a little after. But please, let's play, without further ado, this is Alexa Fair's latest single, sweeping the charts, at least on iTunes. Okay.
Make me so crazy.
was the girl, the too sexy for her shirt girl here, Alexa Fair. And you can go to SoundCloud.com. Your song is also on...
Yeah, my song's on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, all that, Alexa Fair. You can look me up. Yes. It's called Saved a Boyfriend. And lots more music coming up soon.
Oh, my God. You know, very excited. Alexa was on my show as a guest last week. And then shortly after, I got an email from a producer who wanted her to audition for a feature film. They didn't know she was acting. Whatever happened with that? Did you contact him?
I met with him. Yes. And things are going really well. We're going to have another meeting and then see where it's going from there. Oh, but, yeah.
Things are happening. You come on this show. Who
knows?
You
never know. You really never know. No, I did not expect that at all.
Yeah, well, that happens all the time. Yeah. I had a Japanese girl on my show. She just came from Japan, and she had two Twitter followers. By the end of the week, she had 19,000 Twitter followers.
That's crazy.
From listening to my show. Of course, I did play it 5 times in 1 week, but I was just trying to help her out. I'm all about helping.
I suppose next time I'm on the show, I'll have to bring you a clip from one of my stand-up shows.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. That's right. Ben does stand-up comedy. And he's a host. He hosts some of my events.
Yeah, I've done some of your shindigs.
Yes, he does. Now, did you have some questions, Ben, for Ty?
Yes, I did. And I thought about them during the... I was trying to remember what it was. Now, you mentioned before you were talking about representation being very important. For someone who is, like, very much a novice, maybe they've done some training, but they're not sure how to go about getting that representation, what is a good, like, starting process for that to kind of get your foot in that door?
If you feel like you've trained enough and you're ready to actually pursue this professionally, then there are several agent and manager showcases throughout Los Angeles that is a good captive way to see, you know, 20 or 30 agents and managers in one sitting where you do a piece of prepared material.
At a workshop, right?
Yeah.
I think Truly Acting has the workshops as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and they do agent and manager showcases. So that's a good way. Because the days of... either passing out hard copy pick and res or emailing them, they just get...
Well, sending people glitter bombs in the mail.
Right.
Nobody
Tobias likes Finkay the glitter
method,
bomb.
No.
What's a glitter bomb?
Do you remember Arrested Development, the old TV show?
Yeah,
on Fox?
I didn't watch it, though.
Well, that's your failing, and you can correct that because it's on Netflix. But
put it on the list.
One of the characters in that decides, with no training and really no impetus whatsoever, that he wants to be an actor. So he starts sending these little gift bags to a bunch of casting directors, and they're literally glitter bombs. People open them and they get...
I've heard of cookies, but not glitter bombs. No. That's kind of cray-cray. I don't know about that. Now, Ty, what should an actor look for before choosing a cast director workshop? Because there are literally tons of casting director workshops. I personally say that you should look at the casting director, look them up on IMDb, look at their credits, and do some research. Because an actor has very little money to begin with. If you're going to spend your money, make sure you choose a casting director that is reputable and also in the genre of... that you're pursuing. If you want to be a soap opera star, you'd want to choose a casting director who focuses on that.
Right. You want to make sure that you're meeting people that cast shows that you are right for.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. If you want to be a sitcom actor,
then you want to make sure that they're doing, you know, multi and single camera half hours.
Right. Don't just go to any casting director. Make sure that
you want to target those that seem appropriate to what you're trying to pursue.
Yeah. And now for people who've never gone to a casting director workshop before, I know you briefly talked about what the process is, but I want to know, because I had a friend who had Signature Studios, which was a casting director workshop, and she brought all the top casting people in. And what I found was that a lot of times you get up there as an actor, you do your thing, and then they say, famous 3 lines, good job, thanks.
Mm.
But then sometimes they'll make a correction,
right.
But then they do good job, thanks. So what actually happens in your mind when an actor gets up there, and what can they do to make it memorable to you other than a good job, thanks? Because an actor can feel when they say that it's not really good job, thanks.
Well, we want to be supportive, too, and not tear anybody down in front of a group of people. And you want them to do their best work. So you want to be encouraging, and if sometimes they hit it out of the park and it was really great, and there's no need to give any notes or any redirection.
But actor feels like if you don't give them a note that you actually didn't think they were good. But that's not true.
No, not at all.
I would say that that doesn't necessarily... I mean, I'm not casting director. Don't let me step on your shoes or anything. But I feel like... as someone who is also an actor, I'm very insecure. So if someone doesn't give me notes, I feel like that's I've done something wrong. But intellectually, I know that that's not necessarily the case. Even if emotionally, I feel like I need to stop by In-N-Out on the way home and get 50
cheeseburgers.
Yeah. So yeah, I think one of the things that people need to remember is that everyone who is in that room is working towards creating the best possible version of that character. Casting director, your goal is to make sure you get the right person with the right take on it. And as an actor auditioning, you're coming in with, okay, this is my take on this character. And hopefully, you know, those two things mesh and you end up with something that works.
Yeah, and God knows I can be wrong, you know? My vision, what I perceive as being right for the role is not necessarily right all the time. It's like any job, you know? And so I want you to come in and show me all the different ways that it can be played. If I see 50 or 60 people in a day for a role, I want to see 50 or 60 different performances. What I end up seeing is, you know, 42 of the same performance and 8 people that really knock it out of the park and impress me.
You're going to have to dig here, Ty. Actor that came in, did an audition, and you still, to this day, haven't forgotten it. What did they do?
Well, I can tell you who it was. It was James Vanderbeek, and it's when he came in for Generation Kill. He became that character, you know, in no uncertain terms, and did a level of work that just blew me away.
Do you recommend... Now, I've heard casting directors say no, and then some say yes. Do you feel that if they have the material before an audition, should they come in character? To do the audition?
I mean, it depends on the actor, if that's something that's really necessary to their process.
Well, if they're method, they're coming in. They're coming in the homeless outfit, Ty, with the smell and all.
Yeah,
they're going to get it.
I don't necessarily think that you need to go to that degree. If you're coming in for a lawyer, wearing a coat and tie, I think, is a good idea, as opposed to a wife beater and a pair of flip-flops, you know?
But what if that's your take on the character?
Well, then go for it, I guess. So I think you can wardrobe yourself to suggest the character, but if you're coming in for a nurse, I don't expect you to come in the white hat and the white dress and the orthopedic
But if
shoes.
You did, would you think the person's weird?
No, I would just think they were inexperienced.
Oh. So it's a catch-22. If you come in and you feel that you want to dress for the character because it's going to help, that's if you're a more upper echelon actor, that doesn't...
I say come in, and the work will speak for itself. If you come in fully dressed and you do a magnificent audition, I'm not going to care. If you come in fully dressed and give a dreadful audition, I would say, oh, she just spent $100 on an audition outfit. I feel bad for her or him.
Bought those heels for nothing, but I can write them off, honey. All right. What is the worst thing an actor, memorable, that you remember from all the years, that worst thing that an actor did?
And you don't have to name any names.
No name, of course
not. I don't remember her name, but she pulled a gun out and put it to my head, and I didn't know if it was real or fake.
Stop it!
That's too much. That's too much.
Right? No! For real? Was this for a movie?
It was for a movie.
Oh, my gosh! That, was this in the 80s when the drugs were a little too generous?
Oh, no, it was in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
When the drugs were wearing off.
Did she force you to give up the part?
Oh, yeah. That's true. Give me
no,
the part.
No, I got her out of there as soon as I could.
Did you let security know that she...
There's no security.
Maybe you should have hired some security as a result of that audition.
And then she got a part on Blade Runner. Let's not figure out who that is. Look, he's still thinking. He doesn't.
No, I...
Oh, so what is...
Harrison Ford.
Now, I'm going to switch gears because I got a lot of questions from your older folk. Now, of course, we've been talking about the young hotties like Alexa coming into town with
That's
her
fine.
Stilettos.
You don't need to mention my name. It's fine.
Right?
You know I'm young and hot. Right? It's fine. I'm good. I'm comfortable.
I'm the only one in the room.
Or the gingers.
The ginger.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm English, and I'm coming here from England because England actors are taking over.
Why do you... You don't even need me in the room. That's a flawless British accent.
Oh, God!
No, I'm lying.
Oh, you little... I knew you were lying because you always tell me my British accent sucks. so I knew it. But we've had an influx of British actors, and I can see why, because British actors and Australian actors, I don't know what it is, Ty, but they are just incredible.
Yeah, magnificent.
They're extremely magnificent. They're so professional, and their comedic timing. Not nothing against my Americans, but I'm telling you, if I were casting director, I would only cast British actors or Australian actors, like the girl in The 100. I didn't even know she was Australian. Her accent is flawless, and it is hard to do an accent, as I well know from Ben constantly reminding me. My God. But, yeah, British actors. I don't know what the hell I was saying. Where was it going, Ben? Because he can repeats back.
You were talking about
the older generation
of actors.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, what I wanted to ask is, we were talking about most of this advice is going to go to a wide variety, because I have worldwide listeners, and I get a lot of emails from people who are in a job, they're tired, Ty. They're tired, they're worn down, they got the saddlebags under their eyes, and they want to be an actor. They're like, I'm 40, I'm going to buy a Maserati, and I'm going to become an actor. How realistic is it for people that are transitioning from, say, CPA, and they want to become an actor? Because you've got, Jessica Lange, who can still rock parts, and people who are over 40, like, so many. But what about the little person who wants to be an actor and they're over 40? Let's be real.
I think it's very tough. I think that you have to do it for the love of the craft and for your passion for the craft. I don't think you can expect to make a living at it necessarily. I mean, there's certainly exceptions to every rule, and there are exceptions to that. But generally speaking, I think starting in the game at 40 with absolutely no training or having ever done anything, I think it's a very tough nut to crack.
Mm. Now, there was a lady who was on ER, the African-American lady, who was a housewife, and she decided she didn't want to take anymore. She wasn't. There were no more. What's that song by? She didn't want to cook any eggs anymore. There were no bells to ring. No bells to. You know what song I'm talking about? D.I. Warwick song. You know what I mean? There were no more eggs being cooked. So she decided she was going to become an actress. Ended up ER.
There's an exception to the rule.
There's like a 1% that it can possibly happen. And if you start at 40, you might be able to get a part when you're a senior. You know, there's still roles being, cast. Usually they will go to the former stars, but there's a possibility, right?
Absolutely.
Now, I'm going to ask you to stretch, Ty. What advice would you give people who wanted to pursue a career? They're 40, they're ready to go. That's it.
I would say go for it, but you have to work harder than anybody else, and you have to figure out a way to continue to support yourself financially while you're trying to do that.
Mm.
That never changes.
Alimony. Yeah.
Right. Inheritance.
Alimony. Work at the morgue. You have to really, really want it and work hard. And there's nothing wrong with starting out doing what I love, background acting. Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. And what's great about that is you get to see the set. You get to,
And learn what everybody does. I think that's a really important thing. People, when they first come to town and want to see what a professional set really looks like and who does what, I think working in background can be very beneficial.
Oh, it's lovely. I love it. It's fun.
It's lots of fun. Yeah, we both worked on Glee, actually.
We did. Yeah, but it's different because I did a movie with David Schwimmer and Eric Stoltz. I met him at a party, and when Eric needed a fluffy person, he remembered me.
Yeah, I haven't had that.
I was a teacher. Oh, yeah, people remember me. For good or bad. No, usually good. But, that was a fun experience. Yeah. But it's called show business. So please, please don't focus just on the craft. You have to learn about the business aspect. Am I right, Ty?
Very true.
What should actors know? What should they know from the business perspective? First of all, they need to know, especially my 40-year-olds and up, social networking is a must. Now, of course, these young teens, like Alexa, 19, just turned 20, I believe, social media was with them while, they were in the womb. They came out, social media, right?
Not for me.
Well, you're 19, so 19 years ago, did we have Facebook?
No, I'm 20.
Okay, so we had email. All right. But social media, you cannot survive without it. It has become the business card. Mm-hmm. Tell people, Ty, how important it is to promote yourself with social media as an actor.
I think
what can you do,
important.
Too?
Well, I think, you know, lots of actors send out postcards when they're, you know, mm-hmm. see me this week on Law & Order SVU at such and such a time on such and such a channel. You can use that in the same way by Facebook postings, Instagram postings, Twitter postings.
Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, the whole
thing. All those things, yeah. And you can hit a much...
So you accept postcards?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actors send postcards in all the time.
I made a postcard for myself, and I came up with this crazy... Because I'm very good at taglines and English. That's my thing. But I came up with this postcard tie, and it was a picture of me, and it said, big actors seeking small parts or something. It was very clever. I may not be getting it, but it was very clever. Or
that sounds very clever.
Yeah, so you gotta, you know, make it something fun. I will throw this bottle. One sec. But that is about it for today. We have to go. Ty Harmon, the one and only. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Did you have a good time?
I had a great time. Thanks for having me.
You don't think we're insane, right? Well, cray cray. And Alexa Fair, AlexaFairMusic.com. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
And BenPadden.net. Hey. Thank you for coming on the show. I think we got a lot of questions answered. We're going to ask Ty Harmon to come back next year for your enjoyment. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And we will see you next week on Question Reality. Okay, bye-bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.